All right, we are plugged in for Wednesday night, 29th of November, 2023, for the Crass Files podcast with Adam, and great company tonight. John Hamer is plugging in with me, author and researcher. Been talking to John for years now, so it's been wonderful, and I haven't been able to catch up lately. A few little issues here and there, but we can tonight. We'll do about 45 tonight. John's waiting for an important call. Maybe you can we'll get John to explain that. That's pretty awesome. Anyway, great to always catch up with John and talk about his books and his great work. And it's great that John keeps coming on the podcast with me. Real independent podcasting here in Sydney, Australia. It's great to be doing this since 2015, and we just continue forward, and we're rocketing into 2024. So interesting times. We usually center around John's work and great books and what's coming, and then we try to just sort of break down what we're seeing in front of us right now and sort of all the latest. John's in the UK, of course, so he gives us a good perspective on the ground there as to what's going on. But we made it this far, and we're moving into 2024, so we stay positive and confident and keep researching and learning and do our best. It's really incredible times. We've seen a lot in the last few years that just boggles the mind. It's really unbelievable what has happened here. It is really, really been incredible times. We would expect more, I am assuming, into next year as the Agenda 2030 system hypes up, and the system itself desperately tries to get this through. But we're seeing a lot of pushback, and so we'll discuss that a little bit tonight, what John's seeing on his end, and do the best that we can. Everything's up on crassfiles.com. You may not be able to get on the website at this moment. It looks like it's lost connection to the server. Something's happened there. Let us know anyway. I can't get on. We do get big hits around this time, usually from around 8 o'clock Sydney time till around 9:30. We get hits, and the Crass Files website is specifically being targeted according to the hosting. A few little issues there, but hopefully we get it back up later, and then I'll post this up. But it's just the way that it is at the moment. I know I'll tell John about this as well, about how they're going after domains and things now. Happened to Renegade Tribune. Which you know shows you how desperate they are getting. But for now, you can get on crassfiles.com and have a look at all the latest going up. Have a chat in the chat and all of that. We're on Telegram. Everything's connected. BitChute, all of that. It's all on the website now. Very simplified, and lots of good podcasts and things going up. The only way to support is via a membership over on Buy Me a Coffee. Now that's it. I've taken out the last affiliate link. So membership really just helps me keep going and this kind of media going. That's over on Buy Me a Coffee, so you can click on one of the banners. On the Crass Files website, there's banners up there because I don't have any pop-ups or advertisements. I don't sell a thing. You only just see the banners. It's a completely unique and independent website. A handful of members help me to continue each year and keep this all up and running. So it's much appreciated. And it's a great area over there. And you're in control as a member too. You can sign in, log in, lawyer, whatever. It's much easier for me as well. And it's working really good. And I'm podcasting a lot over there with the Night Watch podcast for the members every night that I'm not on with guests, chatting about everything and breaking everything down. As things kind of feel like they're speeding up a bit. John, good to have you on the podcast again, plugging in from the UK. You've got some exciting news about videos and things like that. Let us know about that and how you've been.
Yeah, hi, Adam. Thanks for having me back on again. It's been a while, hasn't it? But yeah, all good. This end of the world. And as I said to you before we came on air, I'm expecting a phone call, so I might need to take a little break. I've been asked to do some filming with the Ikes, David Icke and his two lads, Jamie and Gareth. So I've been invited down there next week for 3 days to do some filming, to create a documentary about my version of the Titanic story. So yeah, it's all exciting stuff, really. Looking forward to that. Should be really interesting. I've never made a proper documentary film before. You know, I've been on plenty of podcasts and, you know, visual podcasts and, you know, one or two other bits, but nothing quite as big as that. So it's, you know, it's quite a big thing for me, you know. So, quite exciting.
Mm. Of course, David Icke was blocked from his tour of Australia. He's speaking to a because he's a Holocaust denier, apparently. Yeah. So, media went on a witch hunt. This happened sort of, around the end of the COVID nonsense, and I think he was in the US, and he didn't know anything about it. He was ready to board the flight. He's got booked out. He had booked out speaking events, which he's been coming to Australia for many years without any issue. But at that particular sensitive time, they didn't want anyone here. Apparently, the letter he got back from the government departments here was that he's an anti-vaxxer and they didn't want anti-vaccination propaganda, as they say, to be spread in his shows. He said, "I wasn't even really going to talk about that, but I will now." But, you know, they were so paranoid that he might mention something to all those people who are going to see the show. But his visa was actually completely cancelled. I don't think that would happen now, but it happened then with all the COVID nonsense going on.
Well, it was a sensitive time, wasn't it? I mean, they couldn't afford for anybody to put a spanner in the agenda, really, could they, you know?
Not at all, and it was a sensitive time, and they just didn't want any of these kinds of people here. So a lot of them were getting blocked from coming in and doing anything, really, as they were locking us down and all this stuff was going on. I know my dad, Garth, used to do the podcast with me. He's got most of David Icke's books from a long time ago. I remember reading The Biggest Secret back in the day, and I never really seen anything like it. He's a great writer. He's a great writer, and I have followed him for many years. But he's doing really well with the website and the Iconic and the kind of TV studio shows. So I do support this because I think it's important for these kinds of individuals in alternative media who do have, you know, maybe perhaps a bit more money and know-how and reach, like he does and his sons, to start something like this, because it directly competes with the corporate mainstream media. And, it's good to see that kind of very professional content that they're doing with the videos and everything. And I tend to support all this stuff just because I think it's important to get this out to people. And it's interesting that has come through. Of course, we talked about your book, Titanic's Last Secret. That was a really interesting show, and many people still ask about that. And it's kind of through the years, it's a story that keeps popping up. Do you want to give us a few bullet points on what your book is about there? John, as I said, that's an interesting sort of thing that these guys have reached out to you to go over this in a documentary. It's that interesting. Maybe there's a need here for people to start working out what's going on in history and decode all the lies and propaganda we're being fed, you know?
Sure. Well, I think the thing about the Titanic story is that it's a good introduction to anyone who believes that all this stuff that we talk about is just a conspiracy theory. I mean, this is conspiracy fact. And it's a topic that a lot of people are very interested in. So I think it's a great introduction for anybody into the world of conspiracy, or the world of truth, you know, which is more accurate. Just a little correction there. It's not Titanic's Last Secret. That's the novel that was based on the non-fiction book, which is called RMS Olympic. That's the real story. My book, RMS Olympic, Titanic's Last Secret, is just a novel which I wrote based on that. For anyone who's listening who's not aware of the real Titanic story, basically it wasn't the Titanic that was sunk. It was a sister ship, RMS Olympic. RMS Olympic had been launched before Titanic. They were almost identical, not quite, but almost. And Olympic had been involved in a long series of accidents right from launch. I mean, even on a maiden voyage, I mean, she had a really bad accident. And it culminated in the final one, which is about number four, I think, just before Titanic was ready for launching. And it actually involved in a very, very serious high-speed collision with a British Navy battleship just off the south coast of England. And the damage to her was considerable, absolutely massive. I mean, this is all documented. This is not, you know, me making this stuff up. And she was actually declared a wreck. But the problem was that J.P. Morgan, who ultimately owned the shipping line, the White Star Line, which these ships belonged to, had invested a massive amount of money into this project. There were going to be three liners built, Olympic, Titanic and Britannic. Britannic came later, but Olympic and Titanic were kind of contemporary sisters, if you like, sister ships. And they hatched a plot to commit a massive insurance scam. They knew that the Olympic was not seaworthy and never would be, so they patched it up to give it one last voyage, dressed it up as Titanic, and sent it to the bottom of the ocean. All done deliberately. And in parallel with that, there's another thread to the story, and that is that around about that time, there was a group of financiers in America who were trying to set up the Federal Reserve Bank, which was going to usurp the creation and issuance of money from the American government. Because, again, for anybody who doesn't know, the Federal Reserve Bank is not federal, and neither does it have any reserves. It is a privately owned company. It's not a government institution, unlike what we're led to believe. So they were going to make massive amounts of money out of it. But there were three men who actually opposed, and they were conducting a massive campaign against the setting up of the Federal Reserve, of the three very rich men. And they were John Jacob Astor, Benjamin Guggenheim, and a guy called Isidore Strauss, very wealthy guys. And they were winning. You know, they were turning a lot of heads, and they were actually opening the American public's eyes as to what the Federal Reserve Bank would mean for them, and that was massive inflation, erosion of all their savings, all the rest of it. And they were enticed to board the Titanic with a view to kind of covering up their murder, if you like. And very, very few first-class passengers died on Titanic, but it just so happens that those three did. So, you know, draw your own conclusions, folks. And this is what goes on. This is just a little snapshot of how the world works, sadly. But yeah, it's a very interesting story. I mean, I've only scratched the surface there. You know, I've written quite not a massive book, but a sizable book, detailing all the facts, etc., and how it was done, and why it was done, and all the rest of it. So yeah, if anybody's interested in that story, it's RMS Olympic, which you can get off Amazon.
Yeah. There's a forward there from G. Edward Griffin about the book too. So money, John. Money, eh? To be all about the money, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
With everything we're even seeing today, it's always, always, always seems to be about the money and control, of course.
Yeah.
What made you write the RMS Olympic? You know, either the paperback, but the Kindle edition's just a few bucks. Such an interesting. What made you write the Titanic Last Secret as well? Yeah, like, and have the two. What was that? How did that come about?
It'll take me a few minutes to tell the story, actually, but it is, well, I think it's quite interesting. What it was, I did a presentation. It must be like 11, 12 years ago, over the other side of the country from me, and on the West Coast. And it went on YouTube, and it had like 500,000 views. And I think it's been taken down now for obvious reasons. But anyway, I got a phone call one day, and it was a very mysterious phone call because I'd not been in, and I left a message. It was in the days when I had a home phone, and And I just thought it was some kind of prank call. And this happened a couple of times. And then eventually I was in on the third call and I spoke to this person on the other end with an American accent. And again, I thought it was a bit of a prank. I thought somebody messing about. But she said, I'm a film director in Hollywood and I'd like to talk to you about making a film of your Titanic story because I saw your presentation on YouTube. She says, I'm fascinated by it. I said, right, okay. So we talked a couple of times on the phone. And then eventually she invited me over there to Hollywood. And so I went over there. I spent a couple of weeks over there with the view to going around a lot of producers that she knew, trying to raise some money to make this film. So I was, you know, I was really excited about it, as you would be. Spent a couple of weeks with her in a ranch in the Hollywood Hills. And we went around a few different film studios, spoke to some producers. Nobody was interested, of course, for obvious reasons, apart from one guy who said, yeah, it sounds good, but we need a book. So I said, oh, okay then. He says, how quickly could you write a book? I said, well, it's taken me a few weeks at least. And he said, okay then, well, write the book, get it published, and then send me the transcript. So I did that. It took me about, I burnt the midnight oil for about 6 or 7 weeks, and I got the book out, and I sent him the transcript, and he said, no, he says, it's got to be a novel. So I was, oh my God. So I set to work again. I've never written a novel before in my life, and I've no intention of ever writing another, because it's really not my thing at all. You know, it was quite a tough job. But again, it took me about 3 months to write this thing. I was, you know, working all every hour that God sends. And I sent him the transcript afterwards. And he said, he said, thanks, but, you know, I'm not interested anymore. So that was that. But I suppose I got 2 books out of it, so which I probably wouldn't have written otherwise. But, so that was the story of that. That's why I wrote a novel, not because I had any particular inclination to do so, but... it was like a necessity, so because I thought I was going to be able to, get a film from it, but no, should have known better, shouldn't I?
That sounds very Hollywood, anyway.
Yeah,
very, very, very extremely Hollywood. Yeah, have milked you all that way, and then I'm not interested now.
Yeah, moved on to other projects. He said, so that was it.
So the novel was born.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
I mean, it's got good reviews. To be
yeah,
fair.
It does.
I mean,
it does.
It's not exactly J.K. Rowling, but you know, even though I say it myself, it's not a bad effort.
Yeah, well, it's good to kind of piece that together because I think in one of our very earlier podcasts talking about the Titanic, we went over, RMS Olympic one the story of it, but it's good to tie this together, two together, and sort of get you to explain that a little bit. Because obviously if the Iconic and people like Ike and that are contacting you now, wanting you to do a documentary on the Titanic books and your work on this, this is very interesting because, as you said, this understanding this, then you start to get a bigger picture of who's in control and the money side of things and everything and the Federal Reserve and all of this and what happened then. But I guess being so Hollywoodized, there you go, with the Titanic movie, one of the biggest movies grossing ever made, you know?
Yes.
People just get caught up in that Hollywood propaganda side of things and may not suspect that there's a completely different picture going on there.
Sure.
A very interesting one too.
Yeah. In fact, I wish I'd not called the book RMS Olympic actually, because nobody's ever heard of that and they don't know what it is. I wish I'd used Titanic in the title, but this was a suggestion of the film director woman. She said we should call it RMS Olympic. But there you go. A mistake with hindsight. I can't really change the title now. That would be stupid, but yeah.
It's done.
Yeah.
So moving forward, you know, looking at your work, Welcome to the Masquerade, prelude to the coming reset, pretty much leads us into what we're seeing now, and what's coming, I think, especially, I think, probably the most pressing issue that we're seeing now is the WHO pandemic sort of accord or treaty that they're desperately trying to push through. This is obviously a very deep concern for all of us around the world. Apparently, according to what I'm looking at, in halting this pandemic treaty, we're on very thin ice. And it's becoming very urgent because we have spineless traitor politicians who have, you know, pretty much sold us out down the river a long time ago anyway, and continue to do so, and don't really care. They say they represent us, but they absolutely don't. So, you know, it's interesting to kind of look at it. I've been putting up what I can. They said there's an approaching kind of intergovernmental negotiating body. They're meeting, and this is on the 4th and the 6th of December this year. So this is basically next week. And this is going to determine the consensus of this, or for being approved, the pandemic accord among member states. I know the Australians, gutless, spineless pigs, want to sign up to it, or already signed on to it. They just want to ratify it or whatever they're going to do. So we've been putting up what we can, but it's I would strongly assume the US and UK and Canada and those countries are going to push through with this. So I was reading through the other night, I think Estonia, have turned this down and completely rejected it. And so we had a problem with the African bloc as well at some point there, where they, so they're very sneaky and they're changing things. I mean, I put this up from Citizen Go, the urgent call to block the pandemic treaty, the other night, and it wasn't really many signatures, and only just started, and now there's 324,000, nearly 325,000. They want to get to 500,000. So, they say the stakes have never been so high in ongoing battle against the WHO pandemic treaty. The WHO has unveiled yet another draft of this alarming proposal aimed at becoming the primary tool for managing global health crises, and they are looking to become the global health authority before the next pandemic they call. So the whatever they want to call strikes, and it's up to them. This isn't about your health, it's about who holds the reins of power in the times of crises. And as they inch closer and closer to finalizing negotiations, we cannot afford to back down now. So the support seems to be there. I don't think any of us want this, but they're kind of doing all these sneaky deals to go ahead with it anyway. Have you been following something like this? It really is a massive change coming. If that happens, I don't know what to say about it, John.
A little bit. I've not actually looked at the actual treaty itself in any detail. But, I mean, what I can tell people out there is that this is a serious threat. I mean, I would have used the phrase a serious threat to our democracy, but we all know that democracy is a sham anyway. But it completely bypasses the governments of all the countries in the world. In effect, this is true, complete and utter totalitarianism, because a completely unelected body will have control over our governments. I know you could argue that they already do, but this will make it official. Okay, they will be able to dictate to governments officially rather than unofficially, as they have been doing, exactly how the government have to react and what policies the government has to put in place. So no more, there won't be any question of any government standing up to, if it goes through and it happens, there won't be any question of any rogue government standing up to them. They will just be able to have, they'll have the power to, you know, completely veto any government blocks at all. They will have complete control over our politics, not just over the way that crises are handled, all of which are probably manufactured crises anyway, and not real ones, such as the pandemic nonsense that we've just had suffered for the last 2-3 years. You know, so it's a very, very dangerous state of affairs. These people will be your de facto government. You know, you know, we need to stand up to it. We need to push back in every way that we can. And we do have power because, you know, there are billions of us. There's only a few thousand of those bastards, you know. So, you know, I don't want anybody to sit back and think, well, there's nothing we can do. Of course there is. You know, first of all, spread the information and let people know. I know it's a hard thing to do because people will, you know, there'll be pushback from that. People will say, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory, blah, blah, blah. They're doing it for our own good, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we really need to make as many people as possible aware, Adam, and, you know, just make sure that this stuff doesn't go through because it would be a disaster for our freedoms. I mean, you know, I know our freedoms aren't that great anyway, but this will make it a lot worse.
Yeah, indeed, John. And says he imagine a world where health policy is centrally dictated and your health decisions are made by an unelected body with sweeping powers.
Yeah, I mean, this is just thin under the wedge as well. Sorry to interrupt. But you know, first it will be health, and then what will come after that?
Everything.
This is their foot in the door towards this one world government that they've been talking about for decades. You know, this is the thin end of the wedge. And once they start dictating health policies worldwide, where is that going to lead?
Well, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's that. It's just the start. And it says it's all about centralizing health and governance globally. And this is going to be legally binding. So the provisions discussed would give the WHO the authority to declare pandemics whenever they want and manage your health during these emergencies, overriding national policies. So government, anyone here, no one has any say in this. Yeah. They come in and do what they want. And that makes me kind of think that I look at the Australian harsh response. I look at the whole thing, what happened in Melbourne and everywhere, and what the police did and the lockdowns here and what we saw in Australia, because it is a test case here, and we are not a sovereign, we're not a Commonwealth of Australia anymore. We were sold out back by Whitlam and Hawke and these traders who people celebrate and have beers with. But, you know, they make beer companies make Bob Hawke beers. These people are traders, and they sold us out, and it's now nothing more than a company. You know, and I look at it, John. I think that it was all a drill, a test, a drill for what's coming.
I agree
with this WHO, because we even had health officers who were like crazy weirdos up there, you know, every day telling us about the COVID-19 measures and everything. But the whole thing, I look at it now and I see that it was all a big testing case, a big test, a big drill of compliance and everything for what's really coming. And if this goes through, we're going to see that, but much, much worse when they call it. It's not like you're going to be able to say, no, I don't want to get these injections, or I don't want to do this, you won't have anything. They're going to come in and completely take over if this goes through. So it's really worrying times, and that makes me really understand now that what we went through here in Australia was a test. It was a massive test and a massive drill, for what they want to basically achieve. And they're trying to, you've said, John, China's the role model. That's what they want to turn us all into. You know, they want to turn all of these Five Eyes nations and Australia and Canada and all that into basically a China model. But because each of our countries are different, then they just design that package a little bit differently to suit the mentality or mindset of people in those countries. So they target it like that. But it's basically the same model with all the technology and invasive stuff. That's China's the model. That's what they want for all of us, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, but they don't. As we've said many a time before, Adam, they don't do anything by nothing happens by accident. You know, everything's planned down to the finest detail, so you can be sure that you know what happened during the pandemic was, as you say, it was just to lead up to the next step, whatever the next step's going to be, and it's probably going to be giving, you know, power of, this. Unelected power, this unelected body, the WHO, the power to overrule governments, and that is a very, very dangerous step, and it's a massive step down the road to tyranny. Basically, I mean, you could argue that we're already in a form of tyranny, which is probably true, but I think it's nothing compared to what will happen if these utter criminal bastards get that power. We are in serious trouble.
Indeed. Agreed, John. And I was trying to find something here, but what we've just seen recently, I was trying to do a podcast on it the other week and had an issue and lost my podcast file. And I was very frustrated. I was talking about new legislation, but they're bringing in very quickly new legislation, and they're trying to ram through new legislation here in Australia, John, to do with hate speech. Of course, new laws went through in Australia today banning Nazi symbols and flags and all of this. So what they do is they bring in this legislation banning Nazi flag and ISIS flags, which is absolutely ridiculous, but that is just a cover for basically what they're planning. And of course, in the state of Queensland, they have just passed the Criminal Code Serious Vilification and Hate Crimes and Other Legislation Amendment Act of 2020. And so this is really serious business now, John, because it's tying what you do online or say or how you act and think to the criminal code.
And yeah, it's just shutting down free speech.
Completely, I mean, it's completely shutting it down. So they're changing the acts now. And of course, I've done quite a few podcasts looking at these serious vilification and hate crimes and legislation. It's pretty unbelievable to read through the government documents, and to have a look at what they're saying and how they define what a hate crime is and all of this. But if you read through the documents, serious vilification and prohibited symbols. It's got that as well, but also what it appears to be about sex and identity and gender. And we have this with the Australian government as well. They're trying to bring in these same laws Australia-wide, which would basically prohibit and almost put you in prison for saying anything about someone's gender or the LGBTQ, domestic terrorists, because that's what they are. So, you know, sexuality and sex and all of this stuff's coming into play. This is what I'm reading through it, and this is what they're pushing through. So it's a reflection of who the government are, indeed. And it's just interesting to have a look at the symbols and all of this, and images, which is really incredible, and prejudice. Extreme prejudice against any group. This would obviously be the LGBTQ people.
Yes.
So that's where they're going now. They're talking about jail time as well. Mm-hmm. And also, if I could find it, and I'll dig it up as you're talking, letting me know what you think about this. It also, from what I can see in this and what I've been talking about, it comes down to even T-shirts or tattoos. Basically, what we have here is a situation where police in Queensland have been given extraordinary powers, and across Australia, to basically come up to you, no warrant, no explanation really needed at all. You don't have any rights. And they can question you, take your phone. They've got technology now where they just suck all the data out of your phone. And they can detain you and take you away and keep you based on pre-crime stuff. So basically that the police have a feeling because of the shirt you're wearing, if it's an anti-government shirt or tattoos on your arms, that you could be causing a problem or liable to cause a problem. So they're going to take you out before you do. This is Tom Cruise, Minority Report stuff.
Yeah,
because it's here, John, Amendment, the threat of violence.
Yes.
So it's like you haven't done anything yet, but you could, and you could assault someone. And I was trying to find a bit for you that you would be shaking your head in disbelief about this, John, because it's unbelievable. It actually, it talks about imprisonment here, intimidation, harassment, or unlawful stalking, and these kinds of things, aggravation, everything. There was one I was trying to find you about actually that would be to do with protesting and talking at protests or doing public speaking acts or playing recorded messages and these kinds of things. Yeah. There's some videos on YouTube of senators of One Nation and others going through all of this in the parliament, and they're talking about how bad this is. But incredibly, it just passed the other week, this bill in Queensland, Australia. It's passed. And I was trying to get to the bottom of it, just shaking my head in disbelief at some of it. I just can't believe it. And I was just driving the other day and I heard on the radio that the other legislation has gone through. It's passed through the Australian government, banning the Nazi flag. So the Nazi flag is banned now and can get you in serious trouble. In this country, if you take it out with you, or you just have a tattoo over it, or a sticker on your car or something like that, this is where they're going in Australia, John, to basically shut us up. So it says here, John, here it is, public acts, any form of communication to the public, including by speaking, writing, printing, displaying notices, broadcasting, telecasting, screening or playing of tapes or other recorded material, or by electronic means, any conduct that is observable by the public, including actions, gestures, and the wearing or displaying of clothing, signs, flags, emblems, or this, can get you under the Serious Racial and Vilification Crimes Act. That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and it is unbelievable. Well, it's not really, is it, when you think about it?
It's desperate, John. It's desperate.
Yeah, but the thing is about this is, especially regarding Nazism, they're terrified of it. And the reason they're terrified of it is not because it represents a threat to the people. It represents a threat to them. What National Socialism was all about, and why it was so vilified and so fought against, was nothing to do with any kind of what they refer to as fascism, which isn't really fascism. It was more to do with the fact that what fascism as a political creed is all about is about government controlling the corporations. Well, at the moment, it's the other way around. You may have noticed this. So that's why, that's in a very, very tiny nutshell, that's why Nazism and Hitler and all the rest of it, partly why, were and continue to be, even today, 80 years later, totally vilified. And the reason that fascism has become a dirty word is because the big corporates and the banking conglomerates, etc., do not want to be controlled by governments, which is what fascism was. And that's simply put, in a nutshell, that's what it's all about. And this is why we hear all this demonization of Hitler and fascism all the time. Because they have to create an environment where a system like that is just totally unthinkable. That's what scared the hell out of them with Hitler. It wasn't anything to do with, the Jewish question or anything like that. That was just a side issue. Just very much like the slavery issue in the American Civil War. It was just a side issue. It was just a convenient hook for them to grab hold of to demonize certain people and situations. So yeah, that's why fascism is so loathed and despised. It's because of all the propaganda emanating from the usual suspects, because you know they're terrified of it.
That's right, yeah, John. And we would be talking about Jewish power here indeed. They're right through our government and control all of this. It all seems to be coming apart by the seams now, or that could be well by design. But for example, yeah. though, like, you know, if you would never tackle a book on the Holocaust, would you? I mean...
No, I wouldn't.
Not a lot of people would, but it's a historical event, John, that I believe didn't happen, and I believe the evidence isn't there, and I just believe that I don't see anything that makes it stack up to me. I've watched quite a lot, not a lot, but I like history, and I like to learn about it, and if something has been put in my face that's that strong, I like to have a look, and I just don't see any evidence to back it up. But you can go to jail in countries for denying it. As I said, David Icke was banned basically from even speaking to people in this country because you're a Holocaust denier. But this would make an interesting historical reference in books, but it's a dangerous thing to do, isn't it, John? A writer like yourself.
No way I'd publish a book solely on that, although I have done
I know you'd love to, probably. You'd like to get into it.
I would, but I have done a dissection of the whole Holocaust thing in my book Behind the Curtain. So there, you know, I do, there's quite, you know, there's a chapter on it in there. Adam, I'm going to have to take this call.
That's right, John.
Can you give me a few minutes?
You take the call. I'm here.
Thank you. Yes. I mean, originally we were supposed to be doing it the week after next, and now he emailed me this morning and said, can we do 3 days next week instead of 1 day the week after? And I'm like, right, okay, well, I've got, you know, it's a bit short notice to take 3 days out of my life. But, you know, it's not a massive distance, but it's a good 4-hour drive, you know. So I'm going to have to stay over down there. I can't be doing that, you know, there and back every day. So I need to talk to him about accommodation and all that. So, yeah. yeah.
They're anyway, paying you for it, though.
Sorry?
They're paying you.
No, they won't be paying me, but they're going to put myself and my partner up, Karen, in a hotel. I'm not getting paid for it, but, I mean, I suppose the payment will be in the form of the exposure, you know.
Yeah. So they actually want to start filming?
Yeah, they want to do it next week now, which, like...
Is it going to be, like, interviewing you?
Yeah, it's going to be like a documentary, where I'm just going to be sat and be filmed, talking.
Yeah, you'll be sat down and filmed and they'll show all the visuals and everything and have you discussing it,
Exactly,
Boy.
So it'd be good, but it's just a bloody nightmare trying to get hold of them. They're like not very communicative, shall we say.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Interesting, though.
Yeah. It should be good.
Yeah, it'll be great. Well, I guess we could kind of work on wrapping up anyway.
Okay. No worries.
The podcast, we've had a bit, I don't know if there's anything that's pressing for you. Anything
not
that's
really
pressing for you lately? I guess we could, I mean, the Gaza thing is interesting. I don't know if you've been following that. I mean, you've written extensively about all this and studied it so much. There's a whole lots of information as to what is really going on there and what this all is about. I kind of look at money and expansion of Israel, greater Israel and everything, and a sort of a takeover sort of thing going on there. But I think we're being lied to by the media and bamboozled a lot too, because there's a lot of media coverage coming out of Gaza that just doesn't stack up. It looks like propaganda. Bombings and stuff like that we were talking about the other night. So
it's just standard stuff, isn't it? This is what they do.
They've shifted, haven't they, John, from Ukraine and Russia, which was all in the news, and now no one's talking about that, and they've shifted it over here. So the minds of the masses is constantly being steered here and there, everywhere.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just more of the same shit, basically, you know. Same shit, different day, as I say. You know, it's all theatre, basically, Adam, isn't it? I mean, let's face it.
I think it is.
You know, none of it's real. You know,
theatre of war.
They use old footage from wars gone by and all the rest of it. Who knows what's really happening? I'm sure some people do, but I don't, unfortunately.
Well, we've been talking a lot about it, John. What the West and what people are getting is through the TV. That shapes their mind as to what they believe in. It's really incredible and, you know, propaganda. And it's sometimes you just got to, because they tug at the heartstrings, you know. The media, they know how to get people. And just because you're watching something on TV doesn't make it real. You know?
Of course,
we don't know what's going on over there, but it's the whole thing is very, very shaky to me. Yeah.
I mean, what surprised me about it is that quite a lot of the mainstream media is actually demonizing Israel. Very strange. I can't get my head around that one at all, I'm afraid.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. Like, what do you think's going on there? Like, even some of the big alternative media have turned on them as well. Suddenly we've seen a turnaround where before you couldn't criticize Israel or say anything, and now suddenly it's the... they're all doing it. It's like this...
Yeah, apparently the New York Times, which is, you know, a massively Jewish-run publication, is absolutely slating them. I mean, which is unheard of, you know. It's usually all those damned Arabs' fault, you know, according to the New York Times. But I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to the question, mate. I'm sure it'll all become apparent at some point in the not too distant future. But at this point in time, I can't get my head around exactly what the agenda is here.
Funny, isn't it? It's the same with Elon Musk and Twitter, or now X. They're going on about all this anti-Jewish stuff and the Jewish hatred stuff on his platform. And companies are pulling out and not dealing with him. He's supposedly losing millions of dollars and everything. And you're like, and he's speaking up about Jewish control and what they're doing. It, not favorably either. I mean, he's not mincing his words. He's sharing tweets and or X's or whatever you want to call it, that it's funny how that switch around has happened. It's such a baffling thing. We had Kanye West and these people, all these celebrities coming out. It's interesting we've seen that turnaround. And what are the real motives here? And all of this, what is going on here? There's something going on. It has to be.
Yeah, there is. Maybe they're just trying to lull us into some kind of false sense of security or something, or to think that, things aren't really as bad as they say because they're openly criticizing them now. I don't know. It's just, you know, it's just one of those, isn't it? But I'm sure it'll become clear in the next few weeks and months exactly what was really going on.
Yeah, it always comes out, doesn't it?
It does.
Indeed, but we're being bamboozled, John. We're being bamboozled at the end of 2023 after injecting half the planet with this technology. Now they're just bamboozling people with propaganda and stuff. And we knew that was coming. Yeah. That's why you got to have a really controlled mindset, you know, and you just got to be very self-aware and aware of your surroundings and kind of move through in the best way you can, and you can't let it affect you. But if you're able, like us, to, you know, we're pretty thick-skinned to be able to research and study all of this, but keep a balanced mindset and life, that is a good thing, because as you do, you put that in your books. I mean, without keeping an eye on the system, John, and researching it and watching what the media are doing and watching all this, you couldn't do your books properly, you know? You need to be able to yourself absorb all of the information that's going on and then come to your own conclusions and put that out in your work as to what you think's happening and what's coming and what has taken place, you know? And that's what makes authors like yourself unique and individual, because that's what you're doing, you know. But some people just can't handle it, and I understand that, and that's what podcasting is. We're just looking at everything and trying to break it all down and put it out there, yeah. what we think's going on, you know. And this is critically breaking down everything. It's not just staring at the TV like a dumb sheep and believing everything yeah, sure. that it says. But it's hard work to critically analyze everything. And I understand to a lot of people it stresses them or they're just not interested anymore and they completely plug out. And if yeah. you completely plug out, it's gone. It's all of us just,
yes.
you go and live your life. You go and get a cabin, John, and do some fishing every day or fly fishing and live in the mountains. It disappears. And you're like, my yeah. God, you know. But when you're involved in all of this, it can drag you down. So it's you have to have your wits about you and control where we're going here. Be in the driver's yes. seat because it's not easy to do all of this. But yeah. I talk to a lot of people say, look, I just want to plug out. I'm gone, you know. I don't want to even look at any of it. And I say, I don't blame you, you know.
Well, no, yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, I do take little hiatuses myself.
Little
know,
breaks.
All and just, yeah, and just, you know, just kind of just live my life. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're here for, isn't it?
Yeah.
we, you know, but unfortunately, we do have to deal with this shit, but... I think, you know, if we were allowed to take over our lives 24/7, we'd be in a bit of a state. And I think that there are a lot of people like that who let it get to them. And this, you know, this will be my parting message as always to the listeners. You know, there's nothing really to fear. What will be, you know, we can't change it, or we can in small ways, but we can't change what the grand plan that's been laid out and which is, you know, going ahead. And I don't mean their grand plan, I mean the universe's grand plan. We can't change it, so there really is nothing to fear. Whatever's going to be will be, you know. We the only thing that you have to fear is fear itself, basically. So I don't want anyone to go to bed and despair and wake up in more despair and spend their entire day worrying about the state of the world, etc. It's really not worth it. You've got families, you've got lives of your own. You know, concentrate on that, get on with that. I'm not saying completely ignore what's going on, but don't let it run or ruin your life will be my message.
Yeah, that's right, John. And I'll just say before we plug out tonight as well, for all those folks out there around the world who get the podcast on iTunes and all these different places, try to get also back to the Crass Files website after listening to these kinds of podcasts, because I do put up the in the description, I put up all John's information for his website, the official BitChute channel, and the Amazon books, and Shannon Rowan's work as well, who's working with John and all of this. So you'll be able to see all those links there. And John's one of the authors who will offer out signed copies of his books and all of this. So you can just get more information on the website as well by going back there. And there's the... website podcast slider, and also a player on the website that you can listen to it there, the podcast, and download. And I try to get them over on BitChute and stuff, but as they go out in the RSS feed and so many people download it to their devices and listen to the podcast, try to get back to the website as well, so you can look at all that information on there and all the important links for John's work. To get the books and have a look at them. Last one, John, was Welcome to the Masquerade, Prelude yes. to the Coming Reset. You were working on another one. Before we go to tonight, the next book that you were teasing us about on the last show, is that still going ahead? You're still penning yeah. away that, or have you?
Yeah, I've still not started writing it. I'm still researching it, but I've just been so busy on other stuff, personal stuff these last few weeks.
Yeah, yeah,
it's just
yeah.
taken a back seat. But I'm hoping, I mean, I was hoping to start it, you know, this month, but it's probably going to be the new year now with Christmas coming up and everything. So, yeah, but that will get underway. And once I get started on something, you know, I really, you know, put my heart and soul into it. So, it, you know, it won't be many months before.
Can you give the listeners a bit of a tease as to what it's about?
Yeah. Well, it's the working title at the moment is 2034, which is quite appropriate as it's exactly 50 years after 1984. And it's basically about what society would be like if these people get their own way, and if their agenda comes to fruition, this is what life will be like in 2034. So, yeah, it's I'm kind of stealing an idea from George Orwell a little bit there, but
good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, it's a very powerful book that I always talk about.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if you think if you take 1984 and sort of digitize it, you know, like you put it into the digital age, but you put the ideas of that book into where they're going now, it really fits like a glove. It's incredible. So, I think that
so
kind of work.
Plan anyway.
Yeah, your
we'll see
work
how it
is.
Pans out.
That's right. That's right. I think most people don't want to go down that path of transhumanism, and hopefully we can push back. And enough people get spooked, John, and we push back here and we bide some time. It's important to do so. So I don't know when the next time you'll be on the podcast. It might be in the new year, mate.
I guess so. I mean, you know, we're almost in December now anyway, aren't we? So
yeah, you got Christmas and family coming up, I know. Yeah. So,
well, you know, it's always like a couple of weeks out, isn't it, Christmas and New Year? You know, it's like well, at least a week, but, you know, bordering on two, isn't it, with all the stuff that, you know, you get involved in the running, et cetera. So I guess it will be the new year, yeah.
That's all right. If it is, that's absolutely awesome, and it will be good to continue forward with you into the new year. And by the way, is the BitChute channel still going, or are you having a bit of a break?
We're having a bit of a break, enforced break, because Pete, the guy who hosts it,
great guy, he's
a good guy. He's got serious computer issues that he's not been able to resolve. So we've not done it for several months now, we're hoping to get back on stream in the new year again. Now, again, with it coming up to the end of the year, it's kind of everything starts to wind down a little bit, doesn't it? So yeah, there's not been anything new on there for a while, but we do intend to, myself, Pete, and Shannon as well, do one every couple of weeks from the new year onwards. So yeah, that, you know, watch that space. That will be updated very soon.
Great, it's really great. Building over there, and a lot of people plugging in. So it's great to have a nice share them as well. A great channel, and really good to see that kind of work being done, John. It's really unique and important on BitChute, to have you guys up there as well. So look forward to that, and have a great Christmas time and New Year, John, and we'll stay in touch. And then as we move into 24, I'll contact you, and we'll jump on again.
Excellent. Look forward to it, mate. Yeah, have a good one, and same to everyone out there. Have a great Christmas and New Year, and whatever you do, don't get sucked into becoming worried or fearful, because that's what they want.